You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, this is Nick and I am beat this week. It is spring break, but there's doings afoot. However, that won't stop me from putting out an episode. So here we go. Daniel had an idea which was kind of neat. We would look at a classic, in this case actually, both 1960s movies, and then see how they were remade later on. We started with this one, which is the original Jerry Lewis, Nutty Professor, and we're going to do the remake later. Next week, in fact. So please enjoy. I think it's a kooky idea. It's a weird movie. Real weird movie. Anyway, so here we go. If you are in the Atlanta area, of course, I'm performing on Thursday with Cineprov to see a very weird and boring movie called Hangar 18. So kind of enjoy. And also, let's do this. Thanks, guys.
Hold it a second. Hold it. We'll make our own music, gorgeous. Just hold it. You and you stay. Tubby, you go rest your thumbs. I'll drive. Sweetie, go get your lips pressed. Split.
Yes, yes, hello. Let's talk about the Flopcast.
Every week, we give podcast listeners a chance to come and join us in Chickentown,
where we talk about Saturday morning cartoons, comics and science fiction conventions, music and concert reports, 70s and 80s pop culture, and for no good reason, chickens.
Boy, we're weird.
Oh, we are ridiculous.
We're proud members of the ESO Network, and you can find us at flopcast.net.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my
spine. Welcome to Myopia Defender Childhood. This week we watch Professor Frinks Begins, 1963's The Nutty Professor. I'm host Nick Hoffman, award-winning comedian for Cineprov, and on panel we have...
Lauren, and I'm happy to be here with our own Nutty Professor, Nick.
Hey. Adam, haven't been here since the Fifth Element episode. Glad to be back.
Hello, this is Daniel, and I like to think I'm funnier than Jerry Lewis, but we'll see.
You're not French. So here's the thing. Daniel, give us a quick synopsis. This is your second episode, kind of. What's the point of this whole month?
Yes. Okay. Well, what we're doing right now is we're comparing an older movie versus a remake. It's sort of defend our parents' childhood, of which Jerry Lewis is definitely a part with all his telethons, versus our own childhood. Previously, we did 101 Dalmatians, or at least that's what we recorded first, and now we're doing this series.
And so what we're doing here, because most of us here are children of the 80s, and we're getting into the 90s, and when we were kids... The Nutty Professor, the Eddie Murphy Nutty Professor, was huge. I saw that in theaters, and then it was one of those VHS tapes that I think I may have, like, stolen from Columbia Record Company.
I rented that from Blockbuster to stay awake on New Year's Eve whenever it came out.
And so we decided that this would be a good one. We did 101 Dalmatians. This one barely beat out The Absent-Minded Professor. The remake is Flubber. But we thought this would be a good one because, according to, I guess, Universal Pictures, this is, quote, Jerry Lewis's finest picture. So we thought this would be a good one because, frankly, this is probably how I was introduced to Eddie Murphy, which is also something, too.
Now, we all know that his real finest picture was that Holocaust drama he directed that nobody has ever seen.
Except for Hank Azaria from The Simpsons.
Harry Shearer.
So before we get too far into this, which one of you wants to give us the plot synopsis of this film? Please. Okay, Lauren, give us to us.
Okay, so Jerry Lewis plays this professor named Professor Kelp, Julius Kelp. And he's just obviously just exactly every stereotype of a professor you would think of. Just, you know, nerdy, smart, not...
Right down to wanting to screw with his students.
Right. And he does all these special experiments that he's not supposed to. but he does anyway. And so one day, this bully in his class, this football player, asks to leave his classroom and bullies him and puts him in the closet. And so he decides that from that, he wants to conduct his own experiment on how to build more muscle. And also, he's in love with one of his students. Yeah, hot for teacher.
Yeah.
And
it's my one gripe with the movie.
And right. Right, me too.
Well, there's
we'll chat
the
about
near
that.
Rape scene that we need
and,
to
there's a lot.
Yeah. And it so and Stella is really sweet to him and I think feels
women
the same
don't
way.
Have rights.
But she drops the magazine and in the magazine says this ad for more muscle too. So between this bully and between the the girl I really like likes guys with muscle, he decides to conduct his own chemistry experiment to
alive
make himself,
and I appear to be pitching a tent right now.
And so he does. And instead of muscle, he gets this like charismatic, you know, suave, completely 100, you know, 180 different guy and goes to Stella and all that inspires back to him. So
excellent.
It's basically like a funny version of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
Well, yeah, and that's what
comedy
this is.
Comedy version of Jekyll and Hyde.
Well, and this is 1963. This is before Young Frankenstein. That's what this is. It's even, I think, released by Universal Pictures, who own the classic monsters.
Well, there's that weird scene, too, in his first transformation scene where he's actually morphing into a monster.
Oh, yeah, right. Where he has, like, the blue skin and the fangs, and, he looks
and, like
a monster.
And claws, even. They even add claws to the end of his
hand. That is one hairy arm that
he had, like, a gorilla arm, too.
I love that, because you think that's what it's going to be, is some monster, and then he shows up to this club and with that gorgeous suit and hair and all that. Well, I thought that was cool. I thought that was different. Yeah,
buddy, like my gorilla arm.
I thought that was
what cool. I thought was interesting was because obviously Jerry Lewis did a ton of work with Dean Martin. I think he was just impersonating Dean Martin, which I thought was really cool. But
no, and that's what this is. This is well, I mean, and we should get to this, even though it's 63. I know many of our listeners think of the 60s as the Beatles and stuff, but that's really kind of the back end of this. This is jazz. This is big band jazz. And for him to be sexy, he's a Rat Pack member.
Yeah. This is John Waters' 60s. That's what it is.
Oh, yes. for our listeners in Oregon, of which apparently there's over 250 of you.
Hi, Oregon.
There's almost as many people in Australia who listen to us. Hello, Aussies.
Hello.
But
invite us over. We'll do a podcast in Australia. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, actually, it'll be 3 days from now because if you fly from here.
Right.
But you know, anyway. Metric system. So, right. But I mean, what we're talking about here, though, is you guys don't realize this, but this music is amazing. This is like jazzy big band. He sings, and the thing is, his voice is cracking. He loses it, but it's very smooth as shit. This is amazing.
Oh my god! When he did Black Magic, oh my god! Are you kidding? At first, I was like, why does she like? He's being such a jerk and interrupting and doing all that stuff. But as soon as he starts singing about Black Magic, it's like, okay, I get it.
I like the whole "You got a world that swings." I love that part.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he does. And I don't know what Jerry Lewis was like. I imagine. He was addicted
to Percodan at one point.
Well, I mean, like Krusty the Clown.
Well, he was actually quite suave and smooth in real life. He just was really good at playing bumbling idiots, that's what he stuck to.
Well, he's a slapsticky guy. Like, he's maybe a Charlie Chaplin type 50 years later. Right. You know, he has that physicality to him, which is what we use, especially in one nightmare scene we'll talk about where he's playing a child.
That was the one scene that I did not like in this movie. I was like, what?
Was that the scene where he's in the crib?
Yes.
My wife was putting Biscuit to sleep, and I was like, ah!
I thought it was so weird that it was hilarious, but you know.
Oh, it's like a Tim and Eric bit. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
There's a reason the French like this guy.
The metric system. We already talked about this.
He's a silent movie comedian in a talking era. Yeah.
Well, Jerry Lewis is a genius, a master of the physical comedy, though. Can we just establish that? Because because I believe when he's tripping and when he's spilling and all this stuff, I believe it.
I think
Daniel, don't agree with me?
No, I don't.
Jerry Lewis was kind of like the OG, like not OG, but like he was a huge over actor. And that's why I love him.
Well, yeah. I think in an era where people are playing it very tight to the chest, I mean, he's perfect on something like Laugh-In as well. Like, mm-hmm. It's just, there's a joke, it's in the open. I just get the feeling he's Mike Myers in The Love Guru. This one just happened to work, right?
Yeah.
Because he wrote it, he produced it, he directed it. You could tell no one else had any input. It's just that this one worked. And that's why this is the height of him. He'd done like 6 movies before. Mm-hmm. This is the best. And after that, he's just trying to find that voice again.
Holocaust he doesn't make drama. It seem forced. That's all I'm saying. Well, he doesn't make it seem forced.
Yeah. He's more just... when we're talking about silent comedians, I mean, that sort of thing worked for their era because you couldn't like tell a joke. You had to show it with over expressions and you had to really depend on slapstick. Plus, especially with like Buster Keaton, they were actually doing these really dangerous stunts. And with Jerry Lewis at all, it never connects to me in the same way on any sort of personal level. First, because I think his characters are just way too annoying.
Well.
Second, I just don't think he's nearly as talented as he's made out to be.
Well, we'll get to you and your assholeness. let's break down this movie first before you give us final synopsis. So we're introduced to Dr. Kelp having nearly blown up the entire school, as we're understood to believe, right?
Yeah, for like just in the chemistry lab. Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a regular occurrence for him.
And so we have him trying to kind of teach a class, not well, and we have a crusty old dean character.
Who surprisingly did not play bass for the Pretenders.
Simpsons! Yes! Okay, so what do we got from here? Please. You have notes. I'm looking to you because
you're the only one who has notes, Lauren.
Well, and this is not an insult to the movie, but the movie feels a lot like set pieces.
It does.
It feels like a bunch of segmented bits. That are kind of tied together. I get that.
Well, and there's
like
nothing wrong with that.
It could be a TV series with each little bit being one episode.
Well, and a lot
right?
of
I feel a little
I can kind of see that. Yeah.
Well, and a lot of '60s big comedies like It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World, for example.
It's
that's
a bunch
what
of,
this is.
It's
Jerry
a bunch
Lewis
of
Lewis was in.
Yeah.
For 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He runs over the hat, which is a great
he
scene.
He did this movie before this called The Bellboy, which is pretty much just him as a bellboy in the
hotel. Okay, The Bellboy is amazing.
It is.
It's the same setup, though. There's no plot. It's just this bellboy stumbling from one...
What's the point with that?
The bellboy is a full-on... It's like sketches made into a movie. Oh, we're going to connect this sketch because... Okay, that works.
Well, and that's why my bit works. It's a Saturday Night Live movie, right?
Yeah.
There's a sketch we did. It was funny. It's why most of the Marx Brothers movies works. Like, they did it as a vaudevillian sketch, and they're like, well, I guess this is our next film, for better or worse.
We'll just have them wear the same clothes in every scene, and it's a movie.
Yeah,
so, yeah, but it feels sacrilege to compare the two.
To who? Jerry Lewis?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Daniel is. He's that guy. Well, he in this era, I guess you'd be Woody Allen. Right, he's like that Jerry Lewis. He has no thought behind what he's doing. I'm gonna go have sex with a daughter.
Oh God!
It had to be said.
That
I'm
would,
done. I'm out.
That part is not something I'd do.
I didn't. Yeah.
No. So, and then like he's trying to go for Stella, and so he goes to the Purple Pit. Purple Pit
the
is
purple
where all the
pit.
Students hang out, and then.
Well, there's a bunch of scenes at first of him in the gym where mm-hmm. he's running into all these bodybuilders, one of whom is Jaws from James Bond, and then there's this other one.
Or for your younger listeners, whatever, the big angry guy from Happy Gilmore.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Nail comes out next week. Anyway, well, he's trying to, you know, get...
He's trying to get muscles a different way. He goes
to the traditional
way.
Yeah, he tries to work
he's
out.
He's going to
the
gym.
Whole,
he goes... He has a doctor's appointment and talks to the doctor about it
and
all that. And
he takes
failing.
One of his books.
But
he's
thirsty.
All
the books.
He's thirsty
yeah.
for Stella, though, so he's got to speed it up.
Well, and that's kind of the weirdest part that ages the worst, as you were alluding to, which is the fact that it's not just...
Stella is his student.
She's 21, whereas Woody... Why do I want to say Woody Allen now all of a sudden? I mean, Jerry Lewis.
Because Luke just called you that.
Because Jerry Lewis was probably in his 40s at this point.
No, it's probably like mid to late
30s.
It's still weird.
Stella Stevens, who plays Stella, looks way older than a college
but
student.
That's
anyone
normal.
With me?
Back then, they never looked their age.
Right.
You want to know, I looked it up, by the way. Do you want to guess how old she actually was?
How old?
30.
23.
Really?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not true.
Only 2 years
off. She must have had a hard life.
Am no, I, it's the 1960s.
She looks older.
Hey,
I guess.
She was over 18.
Yeah, smoking.
Wasn't she a Playboy playmate at that time? And that's how
that I didn't
that
look.
How she got the part.
But
I think so.
But I will. I mean, that's what Google's for. No, but it's to your point. They smoked more.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry Lewis smoked like a chimney.
He did. He yeah. absolutely did. She aged 6 years on set.
It's amazing they lived to be like, what, 93 or something.
But as a professor, as a nutty professor yourself, Nick, did that bother you, the whole student teacher thing? Like, well, that would never fly.
It would never fly. B, students do that.
Yeah. See, the weirdest thing about it was just how into this nerdy professor guy. She was. It was almost like an incel fantasy, frankly.
No, well, we'll get there. She was very weirdly sympathetic because, like you said, he was introduced. She was introduced effectively, saving him from being shoved into a cabinet.
Yeah, like a little shelf by the jock with the letter jacket. Wait,
what's that thing he keeps saying? I am accident prone.
Right.
I mean, again, this
oh,
is
that
Professor Frank.
Is
if you're
going to pay,
yeah, good. But yeah, so he wants to bulk up to impress her, but also she essentially instills in his head, he's a bully who picks on small people. And, I guess in Kelp's mind, it flips a switch that he's like, I'm an adult. I should act like an adult. I mean, I've had students throw desks at me and I stand up, but I'm 6'5".
Did it make you want to create a potion to be cool?
It's called whiskey.
Yeah. Say,
hey there, kids.
Okay, what was that?
Fuck off.
We're skipping ahead. What's the drink that Buddy Love has the bartender make where it's like... It's
the Alaskan...
It's like...
Alaskan polar bear.
Alaskan
crazy drink.
Polar.
10 shots of various liquor.
Well, and the bartender takes a sip of it and dies,
yeah.
presumably?
I thought he just fell over unconscious.
Yeah, because it was so strong.
Here, yeah.
I mean... I don't know what death looks like to you. I think it's hilarious.
He just dies.
No,
one orange peel.
And he was
one
never
lemon
seen
wedge.
Again.
One shot of remote. One
chair.
But I mean, to that scene, that's where he appears as an asshole. He comes in all sexy, wearing something that probably looks great in Technicolor. And
I want that suit.
I mean, he's wearing...
No one would talk to me, but I want that suit.
I mean...
You could probably find it if you're ever in a groom's party.
Well, and I was talking to Beast Boy here, and we were talking about the oldest films we had done. And the oldest one we did was Dr. No, followed by this one and From Russia with Love, which came out the same year.
Yeah.
And that's what this feels like. He comes out like a Bond character wearing... He's wearing like a smoking jacket in one scene, like a morning coat in the other. Mm-hmm. The man knows how to dress himself,
yeah.
which is the other side, of which appears in both, which is that all of a sudden
yeah.
he's dressing like a sexy motherfucker. In like
well plus another thing you were talking about the music, if you remember in Goldfinger where Bond hears like some of the Beatles and he smashes the record,
yeah, and he goes, I'd listen to the Beatles if I was wearing earmuffs, like
that's
like
Money Penny,
yeah, that's a great Sean. But that's the point, like there's a certain kind of like there's a swing to this era that we think of as like psychedelic rock, but that's not what this is. It's kind of like late jazz and it's heavily instrument.
It's white people music. It's hip people music.
There's almost a black person in this movie.
Yeah, well, there was like a lot of... It's Rat Pack Lounge Singer music, primarily.
Well, it's that opening scene where Jerry Lewis is covered in soot walking into the dean's office. That's the black person in this movie.
Oh, God.
Oh, you with your sassiness.
The
you hated this.
Jerry Lewis, like, he could have been cool. He could have been a lounge singer type if he wanted to. He went the dorky comedic route.
He was at one point.
Wasn't he?
Well, that was the whole thing with him and Dean Martin, is that was the role they were taking on.
Yeah, Martin and Lewis.
He's the goofy guy and the straight man is Dean Martin, yeah.
Well, and this movie...
He was trying to prove himself after Dean Martin and him split. He was trying to prove that he could do this on his own, and this was his big breakout movie. He did a few others before then, but this was the one that was like, oh.
I thought The Bellboy was his breakout.
The Bellboy was successful, but...
Let a man
this
have a thought,
so.
Daniel.
This
come
one,
on.
This one more so.
No.
Well, this was his first, like, oh, wow.
You know what I wish, though? I mean, to that point, if Martin had been the dean, the crusty dean.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would have been so cool.
I mean, they
hated each other at that point.
Well, right, but someone like that, just in one extra scene, just be like, hey, daddy, you're a fucking this. You know what I mean? Just like, because like then there's a threat, which is something that we'll get in the remake. But Larry Miller really hates his guts.
Yeah.
And I mean, not that this guy doesn't, but this guy looks like someone out of Animal House who's about to shake his fist and go, you!
Double,
you
know, secret probation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that, you there in chemistry department, you're ruining our school!
You sound like hedonism bot.
I mean, you know, that's all I've got. Oh, yes, cover me in chemistry.
This is a fine institution, sir.
There is one great scene.
Oh, you!
There is one great scene with the dean, and that's the scene where Buddy Love, like, comes into his office because the dean wants to meet him, and he, like, encourages him to do
Hamlet.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Well, I love that.
You're beautiful.
We'll get there.
We'll get to the
remake. Beautiful. We love you. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So as far as this film goes, though, Buddy Love cracks out the books after being embarrassed at a gym. Right? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the gym?
Well,
for
his arms stretched.
Okay.
I will say, I was watching
this. Like Mr. Fantastic style.
I was watching this with Little Biscuit, and the second he picks up the weight and he's trying to do it, and it falls to the ground, my daughter shows goes, ha! And I'm like, that's exactly what it is. You know, this is funny. Oh, fuck you.
If this had been a cartoon, that would have.
No. How dare you? This is Naked Gun.
Is this the right time to tell you that Jerry Lewis is a comedic genius up there with the likes of Chaplin and the Marx Brothers?
You can tell me that.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree, Adam. I'm with you.
I mean, I don't think all of his humor is as, like, infinite forever.
It hasn't aged as well.
I will say, though, this bit... I think, again... You watch some of the modern, like, Zucker Abram Zucker stuff, the Wayans Brothers stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They crib from this because he's that in-between step.
The spoof movies are heavily influenced by, well, this one in particular, but a lot of Lewis's work.
It's him and Mel Brooks,
yeah.
Right? Like
him and Mel Brooks were those guys that started off that style of comedy, that joke-a-minute parody comedy.
Well, and that's what this is. I mean, you mentioned it before, but this is Jekyll and Hyde. And he's having fun with it. He's right. Finding a niche, which Brooks will take another 12 years to do, because Young Frankenstein is 73, I think.
Brooks had won an Oscar, like, what, 6 years after this?
Yes, but not for this.
He did The Producers, like, 6 years after this movie.
Yeah. And
Jerry Lewis, I think, plays two different characters amazingly,
so
too.
So well.
Like, say
and
what
the
you
baby.
Will, but, and the baby. And the baby. She'll get to. Yes. But I think the two characters are so different, and he plays them both so well. Yeah. And for, especially me and Adam as actors, that's like, there's nothing more fun. And there's nothing more challenging than doing complete opposite, you know? And I think he just nails that.
Well, that's the thing I really like about this movie, though. You can say what you will about the movie, but you cannot deny that Jerry Lewis did a wonderful job of playing two completely different characters. His body language changed. His voice changed. Everything changed. And in the flip of a dime, he transforms into these characters, and it's completely insane. Like, you believe that he's a dorky scientist, and then when he's cool, you believe he's cool.
What was the formula supposed to do, exactly?
Make him cool.
Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, originally, it's all about him becoming muscle, right? But that's not what happens.
Well, I will say...
Ladies man, essentially.
I will say that's the difference between this and the remake. In the remake, that's supposed to... Like, the driver of this is to fund the science for the department, right?
Yeah.
In this one, it's Jekyll and Hyde directly. There's no reason why Jekyll's doing these experiments to become Hyde. It's just something he stumbles across and becomes Hyde, right?
Well, I hate to disagree with you there, but originally in the novel, he was creating a Hyde potion so he could go out at night and not be recognized.
William!
Yeah.
Also, I discovered today... to your excitement, Daniel, there's a Nutty Professor musical on Broadway
musical.
That we all need to go to and that Adam needs to star in.
I would do it.
But I'm Professor Kelp.
But there's a musical that's on Broadway.
So nasally.
So it goes to show. So just proves that they'll make a musical out of anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Myopia the Musical.
Oh,
just
yeah.
a Black white guy back. Named Daniel Kurt in the corner just going, I hated it.
Can we please do that? Can we please do a musical episode?
I'm trying to host the show. I'm trying to host it. I hated it.
Okay, that shows it.
He hates it.
No, we're please. Doing a musical episode. Every successful
fiction,
TV
fiction,
show
fan
podcast
fiction, I wrote a fan fiction, fan fiction, fan fiction.
He wrote the fan fiction, fan fiction. Yeah, it'll be a whole
done.
Thing.
I want the show to go on!
I hate it.
Yeah, we're doing a musical
dun,
episode.
Done.
The end.
Curtain.
Done.
I will accept my Tony.
And what also I liked is when he was Buddy Love and the kissing, when he would kiss Stella, he had the best lines after. He would say, if you want more, call for refills.
I will
miss
say,
me, it was impossible
little,
to be away from me. Have some more impossible.
That was
that
a little
great.
How about some more impossible? Yeah,
yeah,
how
about
I
some
love
more
that.
Impossible,
say,
baby?
If it
baby.
Were any other professor,
you
it
and
gets
me,
a little
baby.
Rapey.
Yeah, but because he's Buddy Love and he's cool and he's Frank Sinatra. He's
but that's the game. And like, yeah. I will say though, I will give this to Jerry, is that he pushes it too far. And the scene that that you almost want to pause the DVD on is when they go up to Make Out Cove or whatever it is, and
no.
he goes his
I tried to forget
wipe
about
off the lipstick.
Now
and she goes, I want to go home, and he right. goes. Wipe off the lipstick, and you're just like, all right, Ted Bundy begins. Like,
yeah,
that was that was the one scene where I was like, oh, he
but
wants her to
thing.
Wipe off the lipstick, doesn't he?
It's awkward,
yeah.
And yet, if you buy the end scene, which I know Danny Boy doesn't, if you do, it's supposed to be the bad scene, right? Like, this is supposed to be the one that breaks him,
yeah.
However. It's his student, and he's saying, suck it, bitch. And that's a problem.
How
that's
old
a really bad problem.
How old is Buddy Love supposed to be?
He's 400. If I look at if I understand IMDb, Jerry Lewis has fought in the Crimean?
I'm sure he did.
So he's 55.
Well, I asked yeah. because the whole subplot is the dean wants to meet him because he thinks that Buddy is a student.
Well, and
right.
No, I think he was Buddy Love was just like supposed to be this cool singer guy that all the kids knew about, that they wanted to get him at the dance or something.
Yeah, and that's just it. And he wants to meet the guy because there's this well, it's like prom. My wife had walked off and she's like, why is the teacher trying to have sex with a student? I'm like, well, it's weird, but he's a professor. And she's like, but then why are they having prom? And I'm like, maybe colleges used to have prom in the 60s.
Well, by the way, we can't overlook the amazing kelp dance scene. We really can't.
Oh, my God.
That is true. It does rank right up there with the Carlton.
It's the toe tapper. It's the toe tapper.
And you can remix it. It's great.
So
it was
well,
a toe tapper. You couldn't help it.
Yeah.
That was a bit of a toe tapper.
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
Right? I'm telling you. Adam needs to play this role.
You have the right range too. So we have the scene at the Purple Pit, and we have I think three scenes at the Purple Pit. In fact.
At least, yeah.
Where
usually
the
he sings
Pit,
a song every time, yeah.
And what we see, which is again the Jekyll and Hyde bit, he's fighting who he is,
mm-hmm.
right? And something I will give the remake, which we'll get to, is that the reason is that the formula increases the testosterone, so it becomes more aggressive as a male. Here you have to understand that, which I think Jerry Lewis accomplishes quite fine.
Yeah.
But there's this idea that it's messing with his mind, and we're talking about the distance between being a nerd and overweight. But the idea here is that as a person, Buddy Love is losing control of his like humble nerdery, his humanity, right, in favor of being this sex pot. And the Purple Pit scenes are designed to show us that he's trying so hard to be with Miss Purdy that he's losing his humanity because he's driven purely by lust.
Yeah, and I think those Purple Pit scenes also show the audience, like, yeah, how hard he's trying and how cool he's trying to be. And then it's those weird scenes like the lipstick scene when he's not at the Purple Pit where you start to like slowly realize this is bad. This needs to stop.
Right. And that it's less about who he is as a person and more about how he is as like, God, like I don't know, like we're introduced to him. And this is the weird part about this movie in particular. We're introduced to like, well, I think I'm this way because, and then it flashes right back to like him in a cradle as, well, we have to talk about the scene, man. Like,
yeah,
and this is like, if this was Barry Bonds, this is the asterisk next to his record because it's right just like, well, what if you imagine an adult man with a gap in his teeth the size of Goofy being a child?
Making weird, strange, unsettling noises.
Well, the worst part was...
Poor Dada! Poor Dada!
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really strange.
I mean, and it's forced perspective like it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, but there's no payoff. It's just a large woman shoving an adult man going like, hey, where's dinner? Oh, you didn't like my dinner? What the f*** is wrong with you? It's weirdly aggressive.
It is.
It's the 60s.
Yeah.
And no, the fact that a woman has power is the worst, I guess. There's no point to this scene.
Yeah, that's the one scene where I kind of tune out of the movie for a solid 2 minutes.
Well, and again,
they're trying to show where he gets this aggression, right? And
they're trying to show
it was in his subconscious and that he's trying to not be weak like his dad, but it just went about it the wrong way.
Well, and
they could have taken out the whole bit with his dad and it would have been fine.
I agree.
Well, and to just go back to the remake for 2 seconds, this is something they do better in the remake, if only because it's just like they go to a Sunday dinner and they're like, this is the way Sherman is because they're all fat people eating and they guilt him for trying to eat mildly healthy.
Yeah, they do. If you're not fat, you don't fit into this family, apparently.
Well, and I mean, to which be honest, as a Southern boy, that meal looked amazing, but they're just like, why aren't you eating more? Like, it's the worst.
By the way, I forgot, I haven't seen the Eddie Murphy one in a while because I watch the Jerry Lewis one all the time.
I mean, why not?
But the Miss Purdy character in the remake, Will Smith, Will Smith's wife.
Jada Pinkett.
They rewrote her so she's a fellow teacher, right?
Right.
She's a grad student,
but she has her own teaching gig down the hall. She knows him, but she's not his student.
They're colleagues.
Yeah. Okay, so, like, thank God they fixed that. That's my one gripe that I really have with the 60s movie.
Here's the thing about the 60s movie that doesn't come across, that I think at least was partly addressed in the 90s. It's kind of just this ultimate nerd fantasy trope where... Obviously, every guy out there dreams of finding a partner, right?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I've heard that.
Yes,
I dream of Jeannie. I don't know what you're talking about.
Da, 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 da. Okay. The problem is that they're trying to both deconstruct the bully image through buddy love while still saying that the nerd is entitled to a literal supermodel because he doesn't necessarily conform to those bullying tropes that have kept him down in the past. We know how that ends up. We're living in 2019. Go on 4chan for 30 seconds and see how much the Julius Kelps of the world really act.
Hey, here's the thing. Women are wrong. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
No, it's okay. There's a whole Reddit forum I can send you to about incels.
And about how us as white men are truly the most oppressed people on the planet.
We are. Yes. You know, I've seen Fox and Friends.
Oh, not just Friends.
The Friends are the best.
Yeah, the Friends.
So here's the thing about this episode. We're going to have so many more people because everyone saw the Eddie Murphy version. So what we're going to do now is we're going to talk... we're going to talk about our final opinions about this, and then we're going to talk about how you guys think it compares to the Eddie Murphy version, okay?
Okay.
So I think I know Daniel's opinion, but we'll come to you last.
Yes, we know yours.
Sure. But only because you're going to be on the next episode as well. So, Lauren, what do you think?
I love this movie. I thought it was really great. Thanks for picking this one. I love Jerry Lewis. I thought he was phenomenal as just two opposite characters. I think there's nothing more fun as an actor, you know, to have that challenge. I loved it so much. And I think it's a great movie and a great story about being yourself. and loving yourself ultimately, because we didn't get a chance to get to this, but at the end, that's like what the professor comes to the conclusion to, that he just needs to be himself. And I love this line. Might as well like yourself. You have to spend so much time with you.
Yeah.
You know, that he says at the end, you might as well like yourself. You have to spend so much time. I just love that. So I think it's a positive message at the end, especially. I thought the cast was great. I loved the music. I just loved, I felt like I was kind of taken back in time a little bit in the 60s. I really like it much better than the new remake with Eddie Murphy, if I'm honest. And Jerry Lewis is actually going to have a cameo in the new one, but he decided not to because there were too many fart jokes. In the one with Eddie Murphy.
Sure.
So
they're very different comedians.
Yeah, very different comedians. So that's kind of my point, is I think this one was kind of classical, and the new one, you know, fart jokes ultimately. Sure. So, yeah.
Adam? I mean, I'm a Jerry Lewis fanboy. I'm a big fan of, you know, the old screwball comedies and whatnot. And I've seen all of Jerry Lewis's movies. But anyways, we'll go on about that. I personally think that the 60s film is better than the remake, and kind of what Lauren was saying, the whole moral of this movie really is learning to love yourself and accepting who you are. That's the ultimate moral of this entire story. Kind of applies to the remake. It heavily applies to the remake as well. But the scene at the end where he is on stage as Buddy and he's slowly losing it and he's transforming back into Kelp, that's superb acting. He slides right into Kelp and it's so seamless. Jerry Lewis gives one of the best comedic performances I've ever seen in this film, because it's so convincing that he's these two different guys, that the potion is really doing what he made it to do. But personally, I think the remake, or the remake is good movie, but I think the original is a great movie. Yes, it's a little dated. Yes, there are a few things in there that I'm not fully on board with because it's a very old film, but overall I think the point was driven across much better in the old film, and I think Jerry Lewis's performance was just more memorable.
Yeah, okay. Danny?
So, quick question, Adam. When the Library of Congress starts screening The Day the Clown Cried, are you going to be first in line to see that?
Yes. Bet I am, sir.
All right. I will, too.
I think I really covered my opinion of it earlier when I talked about just how Julius Kelp's archetype has really aged into the modern era, and it's not well. I don't want to ever be a jerk on these things, and if you like it, fine. I mean, there's been... Yeah, I know, Nick, I know.
Ferdinand Gully.
Well, that's a different story. But anyway, stupid movie. Okay.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
All right. And I mean, Jerry Lewis has actually been in some movies that I really like. In the 80s, there was this movie called The King of Comedy, where he was basically... That was an amazing movie.
Criminally underrated movie.
Yeah, it's so good.
Great movie.
De Niro, right?
Yeah, De Niro, and so Jerry Lewis was the Johnny Carson character.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But... I don't know. This just seems way more dated, and it just has not really translated all that well into the new age. Maybe if it was a cartoon, because I think Jerry Lewis's style of slapstick translates better into being a cartoon. And yes, I know that he came out with a cartoon version in like 2008 or whatever.
They made a cartoon sequel to this
with
movie.
With what? Either Drake or
Drake
Josh?
Drake Bell played his grandson.
Okay, yeah.
Love it.
Maybe that would have... That just seems like it fit his comic persona more, but I don't know. This just hasn't aged that well.
Yeah.
I don't think so. It's just too... I know, like I said, I know how Julius Kemp's of the world end up.
Yeah.
Well, I think these two films are very much a product of their time. One's very 60s, one's very 90s. So I would argue that they both are very dated.
Yeah.
So.
Which I was like, which, guys, it's like 23 years since... the Eddie Murphy version. Just saying. Do the math. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, this is a summer blockbuster. It's 22 and a half.
No. Yeah.
I mean, and like, just to wrap this up, my final thoughts are kind of both. Like, if you want to watch a comedy, you watch the Eddie Murphy version because that's the comedy. I think the Jerry Lewis version is just a bleaker movie. Not in a bad way. It's still funny.
Yeah.
It's just that, like... There's a lot more humanity in it. Like,
yes.
The practical effects, like that last speech, like you were alluding to, which we ended on, it's not that there's CGI, which is the Eddie Murphy version. The Eddie Murphy version is all CGI. It's that as he's trying to desperately appeal to the audience, his teeth change and then his hair changes and then he's just the sniveling guy. And that's why Richard Kiel's in it. Jerry Lewis is an average heighted man, but you need him to feel like he's pinned against the wall all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, if I wanted to watch a comedy, I'd watch the Eddie Murphy version. And that's why I think it'll be more often in my regular rotation. The Jerry Lewis movie is the movie, right? It's the actual one that's a film. Like, you know, it's the one that people will talk about. The Eddie Murphy version is, it's charming. It's fine. Dave Chappelle is in it. We'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
Tune in next week.
He certainly is.
But, like, that's the one that's the popcorn film, the one that you'll crack out. The Jerry Lewis movie is something heavier. It's harder to watch. I think it's good. I don't know which one's the one you'll watch more often, which one you'll enjoy more. But that's the thing this is the more interesting remake. When we did 101 Dalmatians the last 2 weeks, the Glenn Close version is not anyone's favorite.
No. Mm-hmm.
You watch the animated one because people sing Cruella de Vil and there's charm and there's swing. This one has the swing. The other one has the kind of sadness.
I'm a 90s kid, so I have a different opinion. Oh.
I watched it on a date when I was in sixth grade. Katie Boone hasn't called me back.
Are you talking about the live-action one?
Yeah.
Okay, again, I was like 6 or 7. So.
I was 11, so, you know, youngin'. It's okay, Grandma.
I would have been 9, I think. I don't know.
It's okay. I don't like either of you. however, you know what's going to happen next? We're going to do the remake with Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, and a lot of, you know.
Jada.
Oh, man, and some urban music, as they say, according to IMDb.
No, that's how Buddy Love would call that music.
Did they really call it urban music?
Well, at least the one review I read. So stay tuned next week and every future week as we put some urban music on trial. Thanks, guys.
Hold it a second. Hold,
that's
hold,
a 40-minute episode.
It. We'll make our own music, gorgeous. Just hold it. You and you stay. Tubby, you go rest your thumbs. I'll drive. Sweetie, go get your lips pressed. Split.
Will you listen?
You listen. Sit down here, and if you listen, you'll be thrilled. Believe you me. Sit and
My
listen.
My Okie to Defend Your Childhood is produced by Do Better Podcasting and a member of the ESO Network. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, edited by Daniel Suttis and Ann Byrne. It is produced by Daniel Suttis, Matthew Quinn, and Ann Byrne. Thomas Herman is our consultant. Nick Hoffman is our executive producer. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod. Find it at incomtech.com. Is licensed under the Creative Commons license. Thanks.
In its spell, that old black magic that you weave so well. Those icy fingers up and down my spine. The same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine. The same old tingle that I feel inside. And then that elevator starts its ride, and down, down, down I go.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.